BYU point guard Rob Wright III has just entered that abyss. What does it mean for BYU's offseason plans if he stays or if he goes? 24/7 Sports college basketball analyst Travis Branham joins the show to discuss what Rob Wright entering the portal means for BYU and how active are the Cougars overall in said portal.
NBA mock draft season is also upon us, and most draft experts have A.J. DiBonsa projected to go first overall. Do we think A.J. has the number one pick locked up? And speaking of the draft, The Athletic's Dane Brugler has three Cougars projected as NFL draft picks. How likely is that to happen?
All of the questions, hopefully some answers today. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. A very happy Wednesday, April 8th to all of you. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who at some point will dig up his own 1980s time capsule in his backyard, Jason Shepherd.
Have you ever done that, by the way? Have you ever done a time capsule? I think we did it like in elementary school, way back in the day.
Yes. You write a letter to yourself.
Yeah.
I did that, but I think that's the only thing I did that was even remotely close to that was getting a letter from my elementary school age self like 10 to 12 years later, which was a fun project.
It's cool. And the reason we bring this up is because BYU celebrating their 150th anniversary. So they're putting a time capsule together, and a couple of athletes were able to add some items. It's not going to be opened for until 2075. So almost 50 years from now. So Richie Saunders put in his jersey into the time capsule. Jane Hedengren added her singlet and bib from the 2026 NCAA Indoor Championships when she won two national championships. Some other items that were included, a shoe signed by President Reese. Hey,
nice.
I have that exact same shoe.
Nice.
An iPhone. Wonder which model. a Stanley Cup, which when I read it, I'm like, wait a minute, the Stanley Cup got
not
put.
Not the Stanley Cup, not Lord Stanley's Cup.
No. A Stanley Cup.
A Stanley,
yes. And then two textbooks were put in the time capsule. So if BYU Sports Nation, we're going to add some items to a time capsule. What do you think should go in there?
Come on, it's got to be the oversized blue goggles,
Yeah.
That has to be in the mix.
I kind of thought, I don't know if he kept this or not, but I thought maybe some of Jerem's hair clippings when he shaved his head.
We want people to like this, not be nauseated.
They're like,
it.
Why is there hair in here?
So random. If I were going to go the route of historic relic, maybe we throw in the shoe that Tyler Haas donated to us 12 years ago when he broke the all-time scoring record at BYU at Portland, I think it was. He gave us one of those shoes. Maybe throw that in there.
I actually would like to have the confetti cannons that malfunctioned during the 1000 show when Careless Whisper was played. Again,
if you know, there's only a few people
that would find that funny.
Incredible.
But pretty cool though, time capsule.
You know. Maybe we throw in the Studio B version of Jimmer Fredette's retired jersey in there.
There you go.
Not the actual retired jersey, but the one that we pulled to the Raptors
in
Studio B.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Some options for you. Things that don't really matter, but we're still talking about it. Now it's time to discuss some things that most of you probably feel actually do matter, which is to rise and shout and get into what's trending.
He's a spectacular player, and I'd love to see him back in BYU blue.
And scores it! Rob Wright III!
His ball handling ability and to get in the paint, score. I mean, he could take over games.
If I'm in a college jersey, I would be attending BYU for sure.
What's trending, presented by Intermountain Healthcare, the official medical provider for BYU athletics. Breaking news this morning of sorts when Jeff Goodman reported that BYU men's basketball point guard Rob Wright III will enter the transfer portal, and thus we begin the what happens if he goes and what happens if he stays conversation. Jeff Goodman, with the following post, announced the news, said breaking BYU point guard Robert Wright III will enter the transfer portal. Source told at the Field of 68, Wright averaged 18.1 points, 4.6 assists per game, and shot 41% from the three-point line this past season, started his college career at Baylor. So first things first, Jason, what was your immediate reaction to this news when it broke this morning?
I was at the gym this morning, and you know, not a lot happens super early in the morning. And so when I happened to just, you know, out of habit, look at X to see what was going on, and I saw a graphic that had Rob Wright's picture on it. So I'm like, oh, I'm interested in this. Let's see what this says. And then immediately my demeanor just changed. When I saw when I saw that it was about Rob Wright entering the transfer portal. And look, the first, beyond the initial sort of shock when you see the news, my initial reaction was, okay, let's think through this.
Okay.
There kind of broke this down into three categories. And it's not just with Rob, it's anybody. When somebody enters the transfer portal, it's usually for one of three reasons. One, they want to leave the program that they're at for a different program. Number two, the second category, the program they're currently at wants them to leave. And then the third is it can be a negotiation ploy to try and get a better NIL deal for yourself at the program that you're currently at. I think most scenarios fall under those three categories.
There are some other stipulations, of course.
Yeah, but I think overall, that's going to, most everything's going to fall under the umbrella of those three reasons. Now, what Rob, where Rob's decision falls into that, we don't know. Only he knows that question. But the hope is certainly knowing what he meant to BYU, that this is something that he decides to come back. But we also know that during this time of the year, that there are a lot of teams that get very aggressive and they come after these players with a lot of promises. And sometimes it's very, very difficult to be able to ignore those overtures. So my initial reaction was somewhat shock that we actually saw it. I would not have expected to see that name in the transfer portal so early, if it was going to happen at all. But what was your initial reaction?
Well, I'm going to precursor it, at least my answer here, with something that a lot of you I know immediately thought about when you saw the news from Rob, and that is something that he told Jerem Jordan after BYU's loss in the NCAA tournament about his future. And if you don't remember, well, you're in luck, because we're about to play that soundbite for you.
She looks like for me, I mean, obviously, if I'm in a college jersey, I would be attending BYU for sure.
Yeah, let's do that, huh?
Yeah.
If I'm in a college jersey, I will be attending BYU. So I, at that moment, and I'm not faulting any of you who thought, okay, Rob's in for BYU, like, we're good. But you have to understand the current state of collegiate athletics. So my reaction was, oh boy, BYU fans are not going to like this. But frankly, I wasn't that surprised. I know, because, but what about, he just said that he was going to stay at BYU, Spencer. We have to be fair to the situation. And what I'm about to say is in no way an attack on Rob's character in the least. I like Rob, and I genuinely believe that he enjoys BYU and he enjoyed his team at Brigham Young University, playing in the Marriott Center with this team under Kevin Young. But can we just look at the timeline of what Rob Wright's collegiate career has looked like? Started at Baylor, all Big 12 freshman. According to Scott Drew, his head coach was committed to Baylor. There was an agreement, a handshake, whatever you want to call it, in place. In the 11th hour, Rob decides to transfer to BYU to team up with Kevin Young, A.J. DeBonta, Richie Saunders and company, and pursue something here. Okay? So that precedent has already been set. Like, in the that nothing is for sure until it's absolutely for sure. So he leaves Baylor in the 11th hour to come to BYU, says what he says after the tournament, and I don't believe that Rob was trying to mislead people there. In that moment, he probably felt like, if I'm in a college jersey, I'm going to be back at BYU. He's probably feeling the emotions of the locker room and feels like his place is secure here. But if we look at the history, Jason, like, you have to know that a guy with his talent and in this day and age of college basketball and NIL and the transfer portal, if another suitor comes knocking, then why would you not, if you have the capability, reassess your value? And I believe that is what he is doing. So I think multiple things can be true here. Like, I think he can like BYU, but I think that he can also, and he's listening to a business group around him that is consisted of family members and other people that are looking out for his best potential future. Like, they are saying, why, and why wouldn't they assess your value? Yep. And if BYU wants to play ball, great.
Yep.
But if not, now you have the capability to go somewhere else. But what is the market? We don't know what the market. What's the market?
Yeah.
It hasn't been said yet.
Well, and what's interesting about this, and obviously we're all looking at this from a BYU perspective, and I think it's something important for all of us to remember as BYU fans, is this is how the game is played now. And BYU has benefited from this. And it stinks if BYU loses players, but this is kind of how it works now.
BYU's not immune.
It can't be all, BYU only gets players and they never lose them. Now, we would love for that to be the case, but it's going to fluctuate with the way the collegiate game is now and the ability for players to be able to move as easily as they can right now and to be able to shop themselves around and to be able to earn money. That is their right to be able to do. So I know we're all going to be, it's going to stink if Rob does ultimately leave, but this is what everybody has now signed up for in collegiate athletics.
There is so much misinformation out there as it pertains to what players are worth and where they're going. And people are just throwing out figures on social media. This is what makes social media so dangerous, is you see one thing, and sometimes it's from a parody account. Like, I think I'm pretty good about distinguishing between what's fake and what's real. Like, but I, now and again, I'll be like, oh my goodness, is that number? Oh man, it's a parody account. Okay. I'm sharing this because there is all of these wild ideas about what a player like Rob Wright III is going to demand or what he's worth. But the reality here is, this is what I do know, BYU as a unit, as a staff and an administration and an athletics department, they do have to very realistically sit down and assess, okay, what does a player like Rob Wright III cost the program in NIL, and what could be done with said funds and the commitment there to go out and better your team overall compared to if you go all in on this player. Like, those are the types of options that they have to weigh. I love Rob. I've enjoyed working with him. I think he's a fantastic basketball player, but you have to have some hard conversations. And the hard conversation being had right now at BYU with Rob and his other suitors is, okay, what is it exactly you're looking for? What matters most to you? We can deliver here and here. If that's not what you want, then you have to cut ties and you have to let someone else go and pay him, understandably, because it's how America works and the market works, more and more and more. Like, at what point is this thing going to plateau and cap out? With no collective bargaining agreement, with no salary cap in place, to the highest bidder often go the spoils. So those are the types of things that BYU is dealing with right now.
Yeah, and I want to double down on something that you said. You have interacted with Rob more than I have, but I've had several interactions with Rob. I thoroughly enjoy him as a human being. I've enjoyed talking with him. He's very enjoyable to talk with. And not for one minute do I believe he was disingenuous about his love for BYU. I truly believe he enjoys being at BYU. So when he says those things, I think he meant every word of it. But obviously things change. And now, speaking of things changing,
okay,
yesterday we got the news that Xavion Staton was in the transfer portal. Early this morning, it was Rob Wright. Well, now a third BYU Cougar has announced via social media that he has entered the transfer portal. And Dominique Diamande on Instagram, and I'll just go ahead and read what he put As his message to BYU, he says, "Dear BYU, first and foremost, I want to thank God for blessing me with the opportunity to play the game I love at the Division I level. This journey has been nothing short of a dream, and I am truly grateful for every single moment. To the BYU Cougar Nation, thank you for welcoming me from Paris, France, and making Provo feel like home. Suiting up in blue and white at the Marriott Center has meant the world to me. Wearing number 24 for this program has been an honor I will carry forever. After much thought and prayer, I have decided to enter the transfer portal. I am excited for what lies ahead and ready for the next chapter." Mm. So, the third Cougar entering the transfer portal, Dominique Diamande.
I'm actually more surprised by this specific player than I am from Rob Wright III.
In what way?
Because of Dom's resurgence late in the season, and it seemed like he found a spot and a role on this team, and I loved his willingness to do whatever it takes to just get on the floor. I felt like maybe he found something under Kevin Young with BYU basketball too. Okay, now I can push forward, and maybe there is something good for me here, and I can bring good to this basketball team. So I actually thought that his status at BYU was more secure than Rob Wright III.
It's also a chance for him to be elevated in the pecking order in terms of minutes,
correct,
and lineup and things like that.
We don't know what the roster is going to be,
right,
but I thought, again, because of how he burst onto the scene late in the season and started to play a more important role and was dialed in defensively, that he could be a guy that stays. Just being dead honest with you, I'm more surprised at this from Dominique Diamande than I am from Rob Wright III, based on Rob's history, if you missed it earlier. Okay, this, again, not an attack on any one individual player. They're all doing what's best for them. This one catches me a little more by surprise. I would expect perhaps some other names that I feel are more likely to get into the portal than a guy like Dom Diamande, but yet here we are.
Okay, so let's take this one step further, because we had been talking about, you know, building around Rob Wright and what then BYU needs to bring into this program to be able to put together a roster for the upcoming season that kind of features Rob Wright as one of the main guys. If Rob leaves and if Dominique Diamande leaves, what does this mean for BYU's offseason plans? Mm. How does this change priorities for the Cougars?
It is so interesting, because you're talking about a player in RW3 that, as currently constituted, is probably the biggest investment by BYU's NIL and collective right now. Not saying that things couldn't change and BYU couldn't secure somebody that is enormous, no pun intended, in the transfer portal that would carry a significant investment as well. But right now, this gives BYU an opportunity to say, okay, do we want to pay the increased price tag, or do we want to use those funds and package BYU and everything that it offers and the transformational experience that is so readily available and is still happening at BYU to other players? So do you want multiples and to spread out that NIL commitment, or do you want to go all in on one player? Like, so that to me is like number one thing that they are trying to figure out in the offseason is, okay, do we give it all to Rob, or do we take that and then go pursue other players? But I'll say this, secondly, if there is somebody or somebodies that understand how this portal scenario works, it's Justin Young, mm-hmm, and Kevin Young and this BYU staff and their ability to assess talent. This is the same group that has now brought in Yegor Dioman and AJ DiBonsa, and brought in Rob Wright III, and re-recruited Richie Saunders, and re-recruited Dallin Hall and others for that magical run in 2024.
Has another five-star coming.
These guys have, exactly right. That's exactly right, Jason. These guys have a track record of primarily awesome. So I believe that no matter what happens, Rob decides to leave, I'm not even close to panic mode. BYU's already got their eyes on multiple high-level point guards that could replace him right now and are in discussions, because you have to be.
Yeah, you have to.
You
be.
Have to be. Or you're ill-prepared and now you're on your heels. But this staff is ready, regardless of what Rob decides, to pounce and bring in a high-level point guard if and when RW3 decides to leave for somebody else.
Yeah, and this the thing that comes to my mind in terms of how this changes the offseason plans is you go from adding pieces to the mix that right. fit the scheme and the system that you want to run to now, I think, almost an overhaul may be too strong of a word, but kind of like a roster overhaul or a roster redo. Now you maybe you can decide to go in a different direction in how you want to put the roster together from top to bottom, because you don't necessarily have that one guy that everything has to revolve around. Maybe it changes the thought process on what you want the roster to be. Because prior to, you had, okay, we know we have this set, this set, this set. Now you may not have things that are set, so maybe it opens up a few more options to look at some, maybe some different styles, some different schemes, maybe a different player skill set. So I think, again, overhaul may be a strong word, but it you go from bringing guys in to fit a certain thing to now things being a little bit more open. You can kind of go in a lot of different directions.
I'm going to call an audible here because we're discussing the ramifications of if Rob Wright stays and if Rob Wright leaves BYU, and call back into your minds a soundbite from Kevin Young and what he said following BYU's NCAA tournament loss about his approach to getting BYU better, more, or BYU basketball better and more equipped to handle what they did in his first season, which is win a couple of games in March and want to go further. So listen to this from Kevin Young, and then we'll discuss some more.
And now as we fast forward for next year, trying to get shooting, you know, around Rob and have some dynamic spacing, and like we did our first year, is definitely something that will be under heavy consideration.
I know that most of you are going to focus on the Rob part of that quote, getting shooting around Rob. But I'm more focused on the last few words of that statement, which is getting back to what we did the first year. So even if it is not Rob Wright III, clearly your number one priority, you want to talk about how this is going to impact BYU if RW3 leaves? Well, you got to find a point guard. That's priority number one. You have to. As much as we've talked about finding a scoring big, a defending big, a guy that can do it all, size, like you need bigs, like high-level bigs in the post to be successful. As much as that was the top priority, if Robert Wright III is gone, now your number one priority is finding a primary point guard, ball handler, elite level. And I think that BYU, again, is already in conversations to do so, because you only have a handful of players that have any experience handling the ball, Jason. I mean, who do you have? You have Nate Pickens, who didn't play last year because of an injury, but he's a backup point guard. Dawson Baker at times did a little bit of ball handling. And then you have a JUCO prospect in KJ Perry, who hasn't played at BYU either. So, I mean, largely unproven guys outside of Dawson Baker, at least at BYU. Like, Dawson's the only proven guy, the dude that has proven himself at BYU. So you got to go find a point guard. But the approach for BYU will be, whoever the point guard is, to get back to year number one, which is surround a distributing point guard with shooters. And some of you are saying, well, is Rob Wright III the distributing type point guard? From what we saw last year, not primarily. He's a ball dominant guard, and he is a score first type mentality. So something would dramatically have to shift there, Jason, if Kevin Young wants to run the offense that BYU ran in the first year with Yegor Dioman and Dallin Hall as the point guards, which those guys were distribute first and get the whole team involved, primarily that mentality.
So staying with that line of thought then, that's kind of what they want, speaking of the coaching staff, they want to get back to that year one type scheme and scenario and cohesion like that. Let's say Rob Wright stays. How does that affect then the offseason plans?
Isn't that interesting? You obviously want to find shooting around Rob Wright III, but again, if BYU wants to go back to year one, which I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, where you had seven guys shooting 35% or better from the three-point line, yeah, BYU is going to have to find a ton of shooting to complement a scoring first Rob Wright III. But if he does have a bunch of shooters around him and there's no A.J. DeBonts on the floor, then defenses are obviously going to key more on Rob Wright III and defend him with length. That's what the Big 12 did this year. And in games that he struggled, Teams that defended him with consistent pressure and consistent length really impacted him. The problem is when he distributed the ball out of necessity, when defenses were keying on him that way, there wasn't enough shooting around Rob, especially from the perimeter. Still had AJ, but especially when Richie went down, like where were the scoring options outside of AJ if you take Rob out of the game and Richie's hurt? BYU needs multiple shooters, and that's what Kevin Young is talking about. So it would be a very different dynamic, but teams will key on Rob if he stays as a scoring threat first and defend him with length. There's going to have to be shooters around him. BYU's got a five-star incoming recruit that feels like he can fill some of that void. Dawson Baker could take some of those shots. Brody Kozlowski could take some of those shots. Alexi Kostic showed at times the ability to shoot the three. But what else is BYU going to have? You said to me a couple of weeks ago on this desk, BYU needs a dead-eye assassin-type three-point shooter out there.
That doesn't change at all, in my opinion.
That dude's not on the roster right now, at least not as currently constituted, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay. Meaning you can still go find that guy.
Sure.
Hopefully someone develops into that, but you still feel the same.
Yeah, well, 100%. I still feel like regardless of – and look, the other part about this is – and it's nothing that you can ever count on one way or the other. You need health. And some of these – some of BYU's help – now, assuming that the people that we're talking about stay with BYU and don't get in the portal, again, we just don't know. We don't know how many people are going to get in the portal – from the BYU roster, but getting some of these guys that were injured last year, some injured before the season even started. You know, a lot of injuries happened during the season. Just getting some of those players back, it's going to be important to have those players back on the roster. But again, so much is unknown in terms of, let's say Rob does come back. You still have to wait and see how this plays out in terms of who's going to leave. You know, what positions do you actually still have to fill?
It's a huge task.
Because you have to almost plan for, you have to plan for multiple scenarios. You have to plan for if this guy comes back, but this guy's gone, or this guy's back, but these two guys are gone. Like, there's so many scenarios that you have to plan for, and you have to have everything ready to go at a moment's notice because you have to jump on all these opportunities. It is a crazy, crazy time.
I'll tell you this much. The staff is five steps ahead of everyone else on social media.
Yes.
Like, they're well down the road.
I have the utmost confidence in this coaching staff that they will be able to work this out and put a team on the floor that BYU fans are going to be very proud of.
They've known for a while, a lot longer than we do, that Rob was going to enter the portal. Okay, just trust me in that. Our question of the day: what does Rob Wright III entering the transfer portal mean for BYU basketball's offseason on top of replacing almost 70% of their points, 74% of their assists, and 57% of their three-point makes? This is crazy. It's crazy when you place the big three. Rob's a huge part of the big three production. At NanaY65 says, without the continuity of a veteran star player, BYU has a new team to put together. You were talking about a revamp on the whole thing, Jason, right?
Yeah.
Got to shop well on the portal, then work to develop the spacing scheme and chemistry needed for a winning season.
All right, second response. At Runs Real Fast. Wait a minute, is that your burner? Is that your burner account?
If it's Runs Real Fast, that's absolutely not my burner.
At Runs Real Fast says, KY wants pass-first point guards that can also score. Plus, defense is a priority this offseason for this BYU team. Expect a point guard to come in with those skills.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. A loaded conversation there.
Whew! Yep. BYU baseball heading to Houston for a three-game series beginning tomorrow with coverage starting at 7:30 Eastern time. You can listen on BYU Radio. You can also check it out on ESPN+.
Up next, Travis Branham of 24/7 Sports is dialed into the transfer portal. He discusses the latest surrounding Rob Wright III and interest from BYU and other teams. And how active is BYU in the portal overall right now? Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
The portal giveth and it taketh away.
Just because names are in the portal doesn't mean that they are officially going to leave.
But I'm never surprised by the portal anymore.
You tweak your overall scheme to be able to match your personnel. I think you're going to see that again.
And welcome to transfer portal season.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jason Shepard. Joining us now, as promised, is Travis Branham of 24/7 Sports, a CBS Sports college basketball analyst and a man who has his eye closely on the ever-growing transfer portal. Travis, how are you feeling a couple of days into this transfer portal madness?
Yesterday morning was feeling pretty good. Wore down very quickly as the day went on, but refreshed and ready to go again this morning. It's been a hectic 48 hours already.
You're very aware of Robert Wright III from BYU hopping into the portal and adding his name to the bunch. What does this move mean for BYU basketball potentially if he stays or if he goes?
Yeah, it's a significant loss for BYU, a guy that stuffed the stat sheet for him this season. It was on track to be one of the very best guards in all of college basketball next season. Where things stand now, I don't really like the likelihood of him ending back up at BYU as of this moment. I think there's going to be several teams that will be in aggressive and heavy pursuit for him, to put it politely. And there's a couple teams that I'll be having my eyes on with this one, starting with a couple of the Blue Bloods in Louisville and Kentucky. I think those are two teams that will be in desperate need of a point guard out there. But Texas Tech losing Christian Anderson yesterday to the NBA draft is another team that I'm going to be keeping my eyes closely on. Other people are speculating that Arkansas could be a team to monitor. However, they do have a load of backcourt incoming for their team next year. So I'm not too I'm not looking at them too closely as of just yet, unless there's some more updates on their end.
Travis, if Rob does leave, how does this change BYU's offseason priorities?
Yeah, it changes everything. You obviously have Bruce Branch incoming, but without Rob Wright, now you have to go get a highly impactful guard, particularly a point guard, to lead this team next season. They were already in the market for an impact big man. But without a point guard, now that big man may fall down the priority list for them, as all their focus and attention is now going to be fixated on finding this new point guard. And their good news is there are several out there right now. Colorado's Isaiah Johnson, he was a freshman this past season, was highly productive and efficient for them in the Big 12, which I know you guys are familiar with his game. Additionally, Jackson Schellstad out of Oregon. And the list goes on. So there's a handful of really good guards out there right now that I think BYU can pivot towards.
Travis Branham is on BYU Sports Nation. We're discussing the transfer portal and specifically Rob Wright III. Travis, generally speaking, how active is BYU in the transfer portal right now?
Yeah, they're being very active right now. They're looking to fill quite a few spots on their roster from this past season. They've already had a couple people depart, whether it be with the transfer portal are obviously those graduating. So the focal point right now for them, it seems to be, is finding the big man and now finding that point guard. So I anticipate they're going to be extremely active, one that we are going to be reporting heavily on with a wide variety of prospects around 24/7 Sports.
This will be the third season for head coach Kevin Young. And obviously we know the track record of what he's been able to do through the first 2 years in terms of the high-level talent and then what he was able to do with it. You're going to have back-to-back lottery picks, a potential number one overall pick in A.J. DiBonsa. How attractive is BYU's program right now for the outside looking in?
Yeah, it's a very attractive destination. Seeing what they did with A.J. DiBonsa this year, they were primed for a good March run, in my opinion, prior to Richie Sonner's injury this year. And obviously what he did in year one, making it to that second weekend, additionally with his reputation around the college basketball world, with his personality, the way he connects with his players, the system that he runs out there at BYU, and continuing to showcase what he did with Igor Dimon, obviously with what he did with A.J. DiBonsa this year, they're certainly an attractive destination right now, especially with the resources that they have within the program. So I feel confident and optimistic that they're going to be able to have a very successful offseason in this transfer portal.
Travis, the price tags, if you will, for lack of a better phrase, that are attached to so many of these players in the transfer portal garners so much attention, and it is very fluid, and there's so much misinformation out there about it. So for a player of the caliber of Rob Wright III, what do you anticipate it is going to take for a Division I college basketball team to retain that type of talent in this day and age?
Well, the market goes up every single year. It's nearly doubled with each passing year. Now, I'm not anticipating this market, this cycle, to double this time around. I do think it's going to increase, and the numbers we're hearing right now are, in some instances, 30 to 40% higher than what they were a year ago. Now, the market hasn't been set yet. There's only been a couple of commitments happen, and I do know that some people are sweating beads with the prices that they're hearing. So to get a guy like Rob Wright, it is going to cost conservatively every bit of $3 million. But the numbers we're hearing early on with guys like Rob Wright and some of these other top transfers, Flory Badunga, Juke Harris, and others, they're exceeding $4 million. In some instances, people are talking $5 million for some of these top transfers. But again, that market rate right now, what's being asked for, has not been set yet until those deals are made.
It's so interesting how everything has evolved over the last couple of years. And just the last soundbite that you gave us, how much of your job has changed significantly based off of the information that you just gave, having to find out figures and what guys are worth and what's the going rate? How much of that part of your job has changed over the last couple of years?
Yeah, gathering the information, frankly, has never been harder. Because the amount of misinformation and just frankly made up numbers come across your desk. So things can also change on a whim. You could hear a player is leaning to, and we've heard it, and we've seen it so many times before, where a player's on the brink of committing to one school, and at the very last second, a bigger, higher deal is offered, and the player flips it within the last few minutes of their recruiting processes. So chasing the information, finding the verifiable, true information, it's never been harder in this job. So, that's why you'll see even more misses with the crystal balls and things in today's era, just because there's so much more misinformation and things change so fluidly at the drop of a hat.
1,600 players and counting into the transfer portal already. How much bigger do you expect that number to be before it finally caps out and we start to see the number decrease?
Yeah, it'll start plateauing. Like, obviously, with the new rules and the way they've organized this transfer portal, it opened after the national championship, whereas last year it opened after Selection Sunday. So the numbers I saw yesterday, it was actually basically on par with exactly what I was expecting. I've tracked this every single year. I have numbers to the date of each day of the portal over the last several years. On this day last year, there's about 1,900 players in the portal. So given the fact that it opened just yesterday, we had 1,700 now enter. So we're basically on par where we were a year ago now in terms of what do I expect this to go up to fully. I would expect it's probably going to be around 2,500, 2,600 names in the portal this year. You got to remember that a lot of kids, there's no more COVID years at this point. And that is where some of the inflated numbers in years past have come from. Additionally, retention has become such a key priority for teams all across the country, where they are paying heavily to keep players within their programs. They don't have to go into bidding wars and face the unknown of the transfer portal market. So I'd anticipate it's probably going to be a little bit on par, if not a little less than what we've seen in years past. But over the next several days, it's going to start slowing down with entries. Now, there's still going to be some big names. There's more big names I'm anticipating hitting the board right now that I'm preparing for. But it's going to start plateauing quickly over the course of the next few days. And then it ultimately closes on April 21st. You'll still see some players enter after April 21st, just given the coaching changes. There still are underneath that 30-day window to enter the transfer portal. But I would anticipate we hit a quick plateau over the next 48 hours.
You know, it might be an unfair question to ask right now with so many unknowns, but, you know, you had mentioned a few minutes ago your confidence level in BYU to be able to put together a team is very, very high, with or without Rob Wright. You like BYU's chances of being able to bring some talent in. Do you believe or do you expect BYU to be a preseason top 25 team with or without Rob Wright?
Well, that's a loaded question, because there's so much to unfold I would anticipate that they will be able to put together a competitive roster out there, especially with their resources. So, yeah, I'd be confident that they're able to put together a top 25 team. But my confidence level in that, I would say this, not just about BYU, but so many teams of the biggest teams across the country, there's so much unknown right now as to where these dominoes are going to start falling and landing. So I am optimistic and think that they'll be competitive next year, but still waiting to see how this all starts to unfold.
Okay, Travis, as we wrap up in 30 seconds, and I know you're a guy that has deep ties to college basketball, just on your location alone in Kentucky around the Kentucky Big Blue and Louisville, if you could make one change to the transfer portal, and it can be anything, what would you change right now that you feel like would make this thing better for college basketball?
First off, I love the idea of allowing kids one free transfer. If you transfer again, you have to sit out. I think that would be a healthy rule. Now, if there's a coaching change, now that sit out year, I think you would be able to freely, you should be able to freely transfer under those circumstances. But I think that would be important. Also, would love to see them finally instigate a CBA agreement, a collective bargaining agreement with the players, so budgets are set and people cannot continuously to artificially drive up market rates and prices. And then I think the rule that they just started announcing and rolling out today, oh, and something they're working on, is having 5 years to play five seasons after you turn 19 or graduate high school. I think that would be also another great rule for this sport.
Travis, great stuff. I sincerely wish you some rest at some point in the next week. Keep up the great work. We appreciate you hanging out with us on BYU Sports Nation.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Travis Branham, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports College Basketball Analyst.
Excellent insight from Travis there. All right, BYU softball opens up a three-game homestand against Houston tomorrow night at Miller Park. Game one coverage begins 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Still on the way. If you missed it, how did BYU baseball and softball fare yesterday against Utah Valley? Plus, more updates on BYU men's basketball and the transfer portal coming up. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepard. Let's roll out today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU point guard Rob Wright III is entering the transfer portal, as first reported by the Field of 68's Jeff Goodman this morning. Wright, a sophomore, transferred to BYU from Baylor this season and averaged 18 points per game along with 4.6 assists and shooting 41% from three. Also joining Wright in the portal, we found out this morning, forward Dominique Diamande entering his name earlier today. Diamande averaged 2 points in 24 games played last season. So Wright, Diamande, and Xavion Staten make three Cougars currently in the transfer portal.
Dane Brugler of The Athletic releasing his NFL draft position rankings. He calls, quote, the beast this morning and features over 2,700 draft prospects. That list includes 15 BYU players. Notably, he has linebacker Jack Kelly projected as a fifth-round pick, tight end Carson Ryan going in the fifth or sixth round, and wide receiver Chase Roberts as a seventh-round pick. The NFL draft begins Thursday, April 23rd.
BYU baseball beat Utah Valley 10-5 last night in Orem to improve their record to 15-16. Up next, BYU heading to Houston for a three-game series beginning tomorrow. You can listen to the game on BYU Radio.
BYU softball dropped a fifth straight game at home last night to Utah Valley 4-3, dropping their record to 11-26 on the season. The Cougars working to bounce back tomorrow as they open a three-game series against Houston in Big 12 play at Miller Park.
Former Cougar Justin Sterner pitched two scoreless innings for the A's in a 5-3 loss to the Yankees last night in New York. Sterner has a 1.50 ERA through six innings pitched so far this year.
How about BYU women's tennis having a season? Move up five more spots to number 27 in this week's ITA team rankings. The Cougars close out the regular season this weekend against Arizona State tomorrow and Arizona on Saturday.
Women's golf is in second place at the Cowgirl Classic in Arizona after shooting even par through their first two rounds yesterday. Cougars will tee off in their final round this morning.
And former BYU golfer and 2003 Masters champion Mike Weirs pairing for round one at the Masters was announced yesterday. He'll tee off tomorrow morning at 11:27 a.m. Eastern Time, 9:27 a.m. Mountain Time, and do so with Wyndham Clark and Matteo Pulcini. Up next, do we think A.J. DiBonta has locked up the number one overall pick in the NBA draft? And what are the chances BYU football gets three drafted in the NFL this season? Stay with us on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
A.J. DiBonta, the likely number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft.
You want to see what kind of a show they can put on.
He's Zach Kelly once again. Bear finds him between the hashes, and then Carson did the rest of the work. Dirty.
Go Chase.
Chase Roberts in the end zone, and the Cougs have the lead.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We continue live in Studio B. Let's pick up the tempo as we move into our hurry-up drill. And it begins with A.J. DiBonta.
That's right. Featured in multiple notable end of the college season NBA mock drafts, CBS Sports, The Ringer, USA Today, Yahoo Sports, Bleacher Report, The Sporting News, all have A.J. going number one overall. Is A.J. a lock to be the number one overall pick?
At this point, it would be a surprise, a significant surprise, if he is not. Like, who's calling a note for AJ to not go number one at this point? Like, what respected NBA draft analyst is still like, nope, AJ's not number one? That would be the exception in that case. It is interesting that the Wizards on five of those six mock drafts you just pointed out are projected to have the number one pick. We don't know.
No, we don't know.
The lottery hasn't happened.
We'll know May 10th.
Do you think he's a lock?
In my mind, he's a lock. I think he's been a lock for a lot longer than he's been a lock.
Where's everybody been?
That's what I'm saying.
Look, it took a long time for everybody to get there.
Here's the thing, though. It takes one GM to go off script, and it changes. They fall in love with Darren Peterson or Cam Boozer, who most people think is the third best player. But to me, yes, he's a lock.
Dane Brugler has released The Beast, his NFL draft rankings, 2,700 draft prospects plus discussed. Notably, he has Jack Kelly as a fifth-round grade, Carson Ryan as a fifth to sixth-round grade, and Chase Roberts as a seventh-round grade. What's the likelihood that BYU has three players drafted?
I think it's probably more likely you get two. But I don't think it's crazy that BYU could get three. But to me, in the likelihood, I think it's more likely you probably have two.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go all in on three draft picks. Chase Roberts running a 4.51 at BYU's Pro Day absolutely put him back in the mix to go in a seventh round, if you will. But I'm with you. I think two guys, and they're Jack Kelly and Carson Ryan, are the most draftable right now. Mo Bamba, Chase Roberts, those are kind of the wild cards, right? And they're in a group of 150 players who could go in the seventh round, it feels like. So likelihood, 30% that they get three draft picks? I'll put a percentage to it.
Yeah, I like it.
After the break, our elite voice of the day surrounding Rob Wright III entering the transfer portal and what it could mean for BYU basketball. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Our question of the day, what does Rob Wright III entering the transfer portal mean for BYU basketball's offseason? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, is in from at Travis Larson 32, who says, quote, "My BYU fandom revolves around supporting the school regardless who is donning that jersey, but ultimately it's about the people, and it's fun to connect with these athletes. But it's so exhausting to support these athletes and get so close to them, only to have them leave so soon." That is a very real take about the current state of collegiate athletics and supporting your team when it just feels like the roster is going to be so different from one year to the next.
Yeah, because it didn't used to be that way. And now it's sort of the new world order of collegiate athletics.
Norm, today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about we give it to Dax Milne, former BYU receiver, announcing his retirement from football.
He lived his dream in the NFL. It was awesome to watch it unfold. He did his thing at the alumni game, too. Our thanks to today's guest, Travis Branham of 24/7 Sports.
All of our shows on demand, BYUSN.com.
For Jason Shepherd, I'm Spencer Linton. See you tomorrow. Go Cougs!